And ready, set, go. All right, this is Health Essentials. My name is Dr. Morgan. It is really good to be with you this Saturday morning. There's so many things that we probably need to kind of get a handle on. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll come across articles that I find intriguing or I find the information interesting. But, man, I just love studying it. This morning on the way to work, on the way to the radio station is what I meant to say. I was studying the research concerning what's called slow jogging. And the researcher, he's got a Japanese name. I'm so sorry, I did not write it down. So I'm not going to try to pronounce, you know, his name. I don't want to be disrespectful by not pronouncing it correctly. But it's so interesting to me. And so one of the points that I was trying to double check on was a very interesting bit of research. What they did was they compared different forms of exercise. And it could have been everything from just walking very slowly to walking at a brisk pace. And of course, they put a slow jog in there. And, you know, when I say slow jogging, I am referring to something that's of a very low intensity. It's not the sort of thing that you would be pushing yourself to the limit. So they looked at those forms of exercise. And so if you wanted to jog at a moderate pace, or if you're training to run the 5,000 or 10,000 meters in the Olympics, yeah, that would be extremely high intensity, where you would push yourself to the very edge of being able to survive the race without your heart exploding. That might be an exaggeration, but you get where I'm coming from. So they look at all these different forms of exercise, and what they were doing in one study is they were just measuring what about the body's own production of what's called cannabinoids. So you may have heard that marijuana contains a substance called cannabinoids. I'm just discussing this. That's all I'm doing. And so, for example, if you had a person that didn't feel good about themselves and they were dealing with a significant amount of anxiety or depression, or maybe their mood is just chronically low and they just cannot find a way to get out of bed in the morning and function because they're just not feeling it, which I know that's backwards. You're supposed to make your body do something and then your mood follows. It's like cutting its edge research right there. You don't really, if you're the type of person that waits until you feel fabulous to start something that's good for you, well, probably not going to have any success. That's probably like 100% failure rate. But the opposite would be making your body do something to make yourself, in order to change your physiology where you feel better. But in this particular study, they looked at all these different forms of exercise. It could have been everything from high impact aerobics to jazzercise to sprinting. You could try running pretty quick. You could do calisthenics. But the one form that had the greatest production, what it did was it tapped into the body's natural production of its own cannabinoids. So I guess what I'm suggesting is there is a huge difference when your body makes its own cannabinoids that you need versus having to take them from an outside source like getting them from marijuana. Does that make sense? And lo and behold, out of all of them, the technique called slow jogging. Now, if you don't know what that is, I think you don't need to make any assumptions. I'm bad about that. But if you were to go to, say, YouTube and type in slow jogging and then research, maybe, if that's the sort of thing that interests you, you might come back and come across the same information that I did, showing that under those unique circumstances of applying a technique called slow jogging, it's a very straight up and down motion. The person's not leaning forward. They're not bent over. I've seen a lot of joggers on the road where they're bent or hunched over, and I think, boy, that is not good on the alignment of the feet, the knees, I would say especially the hips. Not good. Bad on the back. Slow jogging is a technique where you're very straight up and down, almost like there's a straight plumb line through, you know, down the center of the skull and the spine, through the hips and the legs. It's very straight. And there's no heel strikes in slow jogging. No. You do not land on your heels like a lot of jogging techniques recommend. You're more on the balls of the feet. I think that kind of more, that would be more similar to what it would be like if you were sprinting. You're only landing and bouncing and pushing on the balls of your feet. So that might be a unique difference. But if you were to look it up. Now see, the other thing that intrigues me about this, besides the topic on increasing the production of cannabinoids, is if I'm not mistaken, I read that the United States Air Force, they have completely stopped making their recruits run and jog in favor of this technique called slow jogging, because what you're going to do when you do a lot of jogging and running, you're going to have injuries, right? Who wants to have a slight tear of the Achilles tendon as it inserts into the heel bone? Well, nobody does. Of course, nobody wants to have a full tear either. But you can only handle so much pain. And there's a lot of techniques out there, running techniques. Man, your risk of having a ligament or a tendon or a muscle strain or sprain goes up exponentially. But with slow jogging, the risk goes down. It's just tremendously. And so, going back to what I was saying, as a general rule, when your body is able to do its job by producing its own internal, you know, internal or endogenously produced cannabinoids, you feel good. Now you tell me, what are the chances of you working, being productive, being able to run towards your goals, attack them, participate in life, make the most of the day, have an amazing day and think good thoughts? Well, it's going to be much greater if you don't have your own cannabinoid deficiency. Another way of saying this would be, what would your life be like if you could not make enough hormones? Now, I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, but you know it's true. Men are much less complicated than women when it comes to hormones. All we really have to produce is testosterone, but that would be one definition of hormonal health, is you can actually make all the hormones you need and then release them at just the right time. So what happens to a human being when they can't make enough of the hormones that they need, whether it be male or female? Well, there's going to be an underwhelming performance. You're not going to be able to rise to the occasion and function near as well as you want to when you have a hormone imbalance. And so the same is true of cannabinoids, even though there's not the same amount of research, but it's growing. But that technique I just mentioned called slow jogging, what if that's the only thing that it took for you to do differently to get you to a place where you actually start feeling better and better and better? And what happens? What if your confidence begins to build, that you're on the right track, and you say, oh my goodness, I feel amazing today? Isn't there a huge difference between working throughout the day and at the same time you feel really good and you like the way that your mind is working? You're not like me. I've got lots of room for improvement. You're probably better off than I am. But anyway, but that's so interesting. What if your body could all of a sudden start producing more of its own internal cannabinoids? Well, number one, there wouldn't be a temptation to take drugs. Folks, I think I've told you these stories. I've been around a lot of people that have taken drugs. I promise you, that is not what you want. If you don't want to accomplish, you know, the goals that God set before you, then yeah, by all means, why don't you turn to alcohol and drugs? No, of course I'm not recommending that. You'll never reach your full God-given potential by being on drugs. I mean, you look at the studies from Oxford. If you smoke a pack of cigarettes every day for 20 years, what is that going to do to your lifespan and your productivity? And, well, you already know the answer to it. It takes 5 years off your life. If I'm not mistaken, if you smoke two packs of cigarettes a day, that's probably going to take about 7 years off your lifespan. So if you're supposed to live to be, you know, 77 years of age, but you're on cigarettes to help you cope and deal with life. I know, my dad smoked cigarettes. I mean, come on. I've watched him. I mean, that's a pretty good teacher, isn't it? Just paying attention to what your dad does. Not good. Oh, man, I think I've told you this before. My dad was, like, smart. Talk about intelligent. He could do just about anything or figure anything out. However, you're not going to live up to your full potential in this life when you're on alcohol and drugs and cigarettes. I'll just leave it at that. So I think that's a learning opportunity. And maybe that's why I feel so strongly against smoking and drinking and drugs. Although, I read the studies the other day. They said, what is the adult male population that consume alcohol on some basis in America? 78%. I was shocked. I never thought it would be that high. I was even more shocked when I look at the stats on women. 68% of the female adult population, not teenagers, not kids, let's hope not, but the adult females, 68%. That's just unspeakable. I have an article right here in front of me. I don't even think I want to read it. I mean, I copied it off and I made some notes, but they were just talking about, and I'll just make it short and sweet and to the point. They're asking the question, is there really any safe amount of alcohol to drink? And they looked at everything from wine to beer to hard liquor. I don't think they measured moonshine, you know, but that would be hard on the body. I mean, you don't really need me to tell you that. If you want to wreck your body, alcohol is a pretty good way to do that. Okay, back to the cannabinoids. What if the only thing you did to help reset your body, and when I say reset your body, if you're highly tempted to consume cigarettes, alcohol, if you want to vape all day long every day, if you want to take Kratom, if you want to take all these substances to alter the way that you feel, I forgot to mention marijuana, but I think most people said you forgot to mention marijuana, Dr. Morgan. But yeah, you can do that. But why would you want to take something if there's a solution that's much healthier, much better, it's free, it's a technique called slow jogging? Now, have I read all the research on it? No. But I tell you what, I've studied it just a little bit every day for like the last week and a half. Or if you don't want to say a week and a half, I'll just say 10 days. And so every day, this is kind of my running habit. I'll pick a topic and I'll just kind of look up different articles and read on it. And then, you know what? I don't ever have like a 2-hour time span where I can just sit down and say, wow, I can just kind of clear the books and I can just study for 2 hours. No. It's more like 1 minute here, sometimes 10 minutes. 10 minutes would be like a long time. But, you know, I've got to work. There's things that have to be done, so you get these little bitty snippets of time. But that has got to be one of the most shocking, surprising things that I've read in a long time. That if you looked up on, I'll just say YouTube, because that makes it super easy. Just type in slow jogging / research, or research on slow jogging. I'd had no way of knowing that slow jogging would greatly improve your own. Or what if you feel horrible all the time? Or what if slow jogging helped your body regain its natural God-given ability to start producing these internal compounds called cannabinoids? I'm not saying they're like endorphins, but they're kind of close. And of course, endorphins make you feel good. Does it make a difference if you feel good every day? Oh, yeah. I've asked a person the other day, I said, hey, does this person like their job? And they said, no, they absolutely hate it. But, you know, why they're doing it is probably because they like to eat and put gas in their car, among many other necessities of life. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, you sure can. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. There is a phone line officially open. So if you want to call in and ask a question, right now is your best opportunity to do so. And if nobody calls, I'm going to go on to the next topic, which is tied with my first thought that I had. Okay, I'm only saying that because there's already multiple people that was trying to call earlier, some before the program, some at the start of the program. But if you will, now's a good chance that you can call and you can answer a question. The number is 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. This is Wesley.
Hey, Wesley.
So I just had a couple of questions. I'm expecting a baby here in June.
You mean your wife is?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Well, we're expecting.
Yeah, gotcha.
She's been experiencing some issues down around her private area, and she's been tested by the doctors. They've said that she had bacterial vaginosis before.
Yeah.
And then they just tested her again, and it came back negative, but she's still having the same symptoms. We were wondering if there's a more natural way, instead of using antibiotics and all these other things the doctors want to throw at her, if there was anything better and more natural that we could try for.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, let's run straight toward that topic. That's a good topic. I'm really glad you called about that. Let me just throw out several ideas. I don't know if I'll go in perfect order, but I would say one thing, if she went and had a blood test done, most likely her blood sugar is just a little bit higher than what it should be.
Okay.
Which I don't
Well, she
really
has
know.
been eating a lot of Cheez-Its.
Oh, she. Well, I would gently encourage her. If we could switch to that, do you know what riced cauliflower is or riced broccoli?
No, I do not.
They kind of have a machine that looks like a grinder, and they throw broccoli and cauliflower in it. It comes out about the size of rice, so it looks like rice, shaped like rice. It's just not rice. It's broccoli and cauliflower. But the reason I'm saying that is because they have a compound. I can't remember. It's called a glucosothiocyanate, but it's an interesting compound that detoxifies that area of the body. And when I say detoxification, it's a way that your body helps clean. But if you have an overgrowth of toxic bacteria or germs of any kind, that's going to be transferred to the baby the moment the baby's born, so we don't want that. So if she would just prayerfully consider ditching the Cheez-Its, and then what I would have her do is I would have her take riced cauliflower or riced broccoli once it's cooked, and I would probably have her try to put as much butter as she thinks she can handle on it, and then just cover it in cheese. So I'm just trying to make a trade out here. So one of them would be very healthy. One of them would be just a processed food. And I'm not bashing the people that make Cheez-Its, but that stuff is just full of so many chemicals. They're not even useful for human existence. And most likely, if you put a Cheez-It on the, let's just say out on the back patio, nothing's going to eat it. But if you put some, real food out there, like an apple slice, something's going to come along and eat it because it's going to be real food. So we're trying to change your body chemistry.
I've never thought about that like that.
Oh, well, it's just they did this science fair experiment for a seventh grade class. I can't remember which state it was. And all they did was they took a stick of margarine on a plate and then a stick of butter on the plate, and they put one at the end of a log that was about 10 feet long out in the woods with a camera on it. And so guess which one that all the animals came to devour, the margarine or the butter?
I would want to say the butter.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they couldn't get enough of it. It's almost as if they were craving it. And so there's going to be the most intimate connection between the health of her liver and what happens in the female reproductive area. And the liver is the great filter of the body. It sweeps all the toxins out. And if the liver is clogged up, and most likely she's got a fatty liver right now, so if she starts consuming high sulfur vegetables, I just said riced cauliflower because she might say, you know what, I like rice, so this is close enough. I'll eat this instead.
Right. She does like rice and she likes broccoli. I don't know if she likes cauliflower, so I haven't tested that one yet.
Well, then go with what she likes. If she likes broccoli, deal. I'll shake on that one. So if she starts consuming broccoli twice a day in the form of riced broccoli, that may be a home run for her. Now, if she starts putting butter on everything, Oh, my goodness. That's one of the things that can transform the flora that's in her female reproductive area for the better.
So, butter, 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 butter.
Yeah, absolutely. And another way of saying it is, every time that she craves Cheez-Its, or I'm just going to make up something, a chocolate chip cookie or a piece of candy, if she would put butter in her mouth, what we would be doing is we'd be sending short chain fatty acids called butyric acid down to the liver, and she'd probably say, "Isn't that weird, Wesley? I no longer have any cravings for sugar or Cheez-Its." So we can start changing her body chemistry, and that's going to help transform the health of the baby for the better also.
All right. And then, you know, and like I said, you know, the doctors tested her and everything, and, you know, we've switched the soaps that she was using. We went to no sulfates or parabens, and, you know, we even went as far as changing the toilet paper we have been using.
Well, all that's a good idea, and that tells me that's a great idea, but I don't think that's getting to the root cause of the problem. So what I wish that we could do is if we could give her like about 2 cups of dandelion root tea a day, and would you say that she eats enough fiber? Fiber's going to be broccoli.
No.
So if she starts eating broccoli every day, and you know what? A bag, I saw it in Walmart the other day, a bag of rice cauliflower is $1.14. So it's not like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know what? When I look at those things, I think, how come there's so many bags left on the shelf? It's only $1.14. Oh, that's right. People don't like it. But if you understand that the cauliflower and the broccoli and stuff like kale and Brussels sprouts and avocados and sweet potatoes, that's what's going to heal the body. But that's also going to ensure that the baby has the very best chance of being super intelligent and smart and healthy because we're putting good nutrients. And don't tell her I said this, but that baby don't need no Cheez-Its.
No, I tried to tell her, man, and both pregnant women, when they want something, they want something. I found that out.
Yeah, you got a good point. I think I'm going to stop giving commentary on that because I can't win. But if you could find a way to get just good, wholesome cheese and just shred it and put it on top of the cauliflower or the broccoli, that might be the very best avenue to kind of help take care of that craving she has. And for all I know, maybe she's just really craving some nutrients like calcium that come from the cheese itself.
Right.
So
I guess on top of like the rice, broccoli, and rice cauliflower, would I be okay to possibly go ahead and like buy calcium vitamins or, you know, stuff to help build those levels back up and get them to where they need to be?
Well, you're making a good point, but I'm going to say I would not do that. I would focus on stuff like salmon and broccoli because that's really high in calcium.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of kale before? Does she like kale by chance?
I don't know if she likes kale. I know she loves seaweed. I don't know if that's...
Well, then, yeah, I would give her seaweed then. Seaweed is one of the absolutely most nutrient-dense plants on our planet. So seaweed, if it's clean, man, that's going to give her a boatload of nutrients.
Yeah, she loves seaweed. I know that for sure. That's definitely one thing I know I can get, and she'll probably eat that all day long if she has enough of it.
You know, one thing that I read earlier this morning before I came on the air is I looked up a particular plant. It's called milk thistle. You probably heard of it before. But I've looked at
it. What was the plant?
It's called milk thistle.
I've heard of it. I don't know necessarily what it does.
One of the things it does, it helps upregulate how your body removes toxins. And so most likely that's the number one situation she's dealing with. So if we could just clean up her blood and clean up the body, we'll clean up all the organs and the cells and tissues. But even the studies, I don't think I've ever read anything that Silymarin or milk thistle has any level of toxicity. I might need to double check I have a different book at my office called The Complete Guide to Herbal Safety, but it even looks at studies on pregnancy and things like that. How far along is your wife?
37 weeks.
Oh, she's just right there at the end?
Not 37 weeks. I'm sorry. I meant 32 weeks and 5 days.
Well, I mean, she's practically 33 weeks now, isn't she?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Well, congratulations.
Monday will be 33 weeks.
So if she decided that she was going to go, is she walking every single day?
I make her walk.
Okay. No, that's good encouragement. So daily walking. I would, one of the best things that she can do is if she starts her day with a glass of water, you might want to put a pinch of salt in it. But if you could start making her like 2 cups of dandelion root tea a day and she starts drinking that, even hibiscus tea would help. We're going to start washing her body clean, but that's really the solution. She won't have any toxic bacteria growing down in the female reproductive area if we can just kind of clean up her body a little bit. So you got everything from eating broccoli to cabbage to cauliflower, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, kale. I'm sure there's something I'm leaving out, but you know, just, but you got to pick and choose those things that she can. So if she likes broccoli, let's take and run with that. But the riced broccoli might be the easiest way for us to melt some butter and cheese on top of it, where she says this tastes pretty good.
Well, I'm gonna definitely give that a shot. Whenever I get off work today, I'm gonna run by Walmart or somewhere, see if I can find some riced broccoli, and hopefully it works.
Well, there's a lot to it. I mean, if I saw her blood work, most likely I would find that her blood sugar levels are high. And so one of the greatest predictors of bacterial vaginosis, that just means a bacterial overgrowth in the female reproductive area, is going to be sugar content. So if her blood sugar is right at like 80, I'll say, Wesley, I was totally wrong. I missed the boat. But most likely her blood sugar is probably going to be around 100 to 105 right now, and that would cause toxic bacteria to grow in that area.
Well, I know diabetes runs in their family, so I don't know if that could be having an effect on it. Or...
Well, that's why when women are pregnant, they're more prone to a condition called toxemia. And as a general rule, that's going to be a B vitamin and a magnesium deficiency. And all I really mean by that is, her body or her diet does not provide her enough magnesium to make all the chemical reactions take place in timely fashion. If she's got any fluid around her legs or ankles, I'd probably say that's a pretty good indication we need to give her some B vitamins and some magnesium.
Her ankles have started to swell.
Okay.
I have, from the last time that I've spoke with you about the issues I was having, I still have... I'd say about a half a bottle of magnesium pills.
Well, give them to her?
I can, yeah.
Yeah. Magnesium is literally one of the greatest nutrient demands or needs when a woman is pregnant. She just, unless she's eating like broccoli all day long, she's just not going to get enough.
Right. Well, I do appreciate your time. I'm about to be pulling into work.
Well, I hope you have a good day at work, buddy.
Yes, sir, I do, and I hope you have a good day as well.
Oh, thanks a bunch. I appreciate you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-589-8507. I said that wrong. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir.
Good, good. I just had a few questions. I've been really monitoring my GFR the last few years, and I just had some questions for you on that.
Okay.
Probably about 3 years ago, my GFR was 92, and then it dropped to 88. And I do this once a year, and then I just got blood work, and it dropped to 76. Well, that, being a retired school teacher, that kind of scared me, you know.
I didn't hear the last number. It kind of broke up. You said 92, 88, and what?
And then it went to 76, and I just thought that was a pretty big drop.
Yeah.
You know, over a year. And my doctor wasn't.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I cannot make out what you're saying.
Okay. Just an hour.
No, still breaking up too bad. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I'll do my very best to make a commentary on what you told me. I got the GFR at 92, 88, and 76. Sorry, I just can't hear it. Yeah, that's just the way it is. If you pick out one out of every five words, that doesn't... Okay, so he's asking the question that he's a retired school teacher, I think he said, and for the last 3 years he's been monitoring one particular blood marker. So there is a classic blood test that I think everybody, you know, uses, whether it's a nurse or a nurse practitioner or a PA or a doctor, an osteopath, podiatrist, whoever. They will do a simple blood test. It's called a comprehensive metabolic panel. And as a general rule, if they do the comprehensive one, there's like 14 precise markers, I think. I might need to count them. But there's 14 different markers. But one of those tests, if they measure it, is called GFR. That's just an acronym for glomerular filtration rate. And so that's going to tell us exactly how efficiently do the kidneys clean the blood and remove impurities or remove poisons and toxins. And I know you get that. So between the liver and the kidneys, I would say those are probably directly two of the most important systems when it comes to keeping your body clean. That'd be like being in a garage and somebody turns the car on and you have to breathe the carbon monoxide. No, it's going to kill you. That's waste building up. So we want your kidneys working efficiently. So anything below the number 95 on a GFR is going to suggest that you have some level of kidney damage. And so what we have over the last 3 years, the kidneys have gone from 92 to 88 to 76, which down to 76, that means you're losing kidney function. So the kidneys are not working as well as they should. Maybe the other way I should say this is, you do have significant damage to the kidneys. Now, I think I heard you make the comment that the doctor wasn't worried. Well, that is because it's not their kidneys. They would if it was their kidneys, but I say we should take that seriously. So let me just give you some ideas here. If I start with the idea, what is absolutely the hardest, most brutal stuff on the kidneys? Well, I'd say it's a junk food diet with sugar. Sugar is, this is probably what I should have said. One of the jobs of the kidneys is try to maintain what's called your pH balance. And so under ideal circumstances, your blood is absolutely in the greatest position to do what God designed it to and to work properly and to be happy. You want your blood cells being happy, don't you? If your pH is slightly alkaline. So if you can maintain a blood pH of 7.35 to maybe 7.4, maybe 7.42, that would be a slightly alkaline pH, but that's one of the jobs of your kidneys to do that. So you got to have your kidneys in good working order if you're going to maintain a slightly alkaline pH of the blood. So if you shovel a ton of acid into the body all the time, you're asking to put just incredible stress and strain upon your kidneys. You're just making them work really hard. And so how's some of the simple ways you could do that? Well, just drink soft drinks or drink energy drinks. Man, energy drinks are actually worse. If you spin the can or the bottle around and you look at the label, usually there's a substance called phosphoric acid. And phosphoric acid, that stuff is so highly acidic that your body has no choice. It's going to start dumping a whole bunch of precious life-sustaining minerals through the kidneys in order to try to counter it or neutralize the acid. So if you don't have to have Coca-Cola all the time, yeah, I talked to a gentleman the other day. He drinks whiskey and Coca-Cola all the time. This was like maybe a month ago. And I was telling him how damaging it is for his kidneys. And he said, well, it's really not that much. And I said, well, how much is it? And by the time that we're through, I mean, it's a lot of whiskey and a lot of Coca-Cola. You know, I get it. You know, people are in denial. They don't want to believe that their habit of drinking a bottle of whiskey every night and a six-pack of Coke is bad for them. You know, they don't want to. But that doesn't change the fact that it is. It's brutal. And so you got the situation where your kidneys are weakening and you just got to evaluate, what am I doing? So are you getting enough blood flow through the kidneys? Are you getting enough oxygen? Is there enough nutrient delivery? That's where being sedentary all day long is just brutal on the kidneys. The kidneys literally can't get enough oxygen and enough food and nutrients for them to do their job. So if somebody had a very sedentary lifestyle and they're losing their muscle mass and they're becoming weaker, well, that's where it makes it hard to turn the kidneys around. I know what you're thinking. It's so exciting, Dr. Morgan. I love waking up at 6. I go straight to my computer and I sit there for 12 hours a day on Facebook. It's really exciting. You just understand how much pleasure it gives me. Well, that's probably going to be in the categories you're not really doing anything. I don't know if that's called delusional or distracted, but you're just avoiding the things that are like really important in life. Sitting at a computer is not that important, is it? All right, did I go off on that topic too hard? All right, so if you want your kidneys to heal, we've got to target what do we do to help heal the kidneys. I've got like about 1 million supplements that I use that specifically target the kidneys, and I won't go into all those, but I am a firm believer, and I tell you what, my experience kind of bears it out. If you want to improve your kidneys, you better start feeding them. And you better avoid the things that just rip them to shreds. So if you want to beat the kidneys to a pulp, just put a bunch of sugar and soft drinks in there, or eat a bunch of candy or junk food. You're just asking for your kidney. So what do we need here? I do believe that the kidneys need a certain amount of fiber in the body to be able to function. But I'm a fan of natural fiber. So just like I mentioned to the male caller earlier, the idea of cauliflower and broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, kale, did I mention asparagus yet? All those things contain compounds that are so good at helping your liver and your kidneys neutralize toxic waste and debris so it can be efficiently removed. If it's removed efficiently, then guess who doesn't get poisoned? You don't. So you need a certain amount of good, high-quality food in your diet. Now, with very, very severe kidney damage, you got to be, so if somebody had a GFR of like 18, 19, 20, yes, they have to be careful about how much protein they consume. And that's a hard topic also, because in the person's mind, what if they say, but I want to be a professional bodybuilder, and I'm going, well, you can't, but I'm taking extra protein. Well, no, you're just making it impossible for your, you don't want to overwhelm the kidneys with too much protein. I don't know that that's really possible with a GFR of 76, but if you were like at 18, 19, 20, or 15, you're just going to have to come to reality. You can't be taking protein drinks all day long and eating tons of protein, because that way you're kind of asking for it. I know it's kind of unusual that I would say you're going to have to limit protein, but when there's kidney failure, you're going to have to. Now, what a GFR of 20 would mean is you're basically swimming and poison all day long. Your blood is full of all this waste, all the toxins, all the debris. So there's other kidney markers also. For example, BUN, BUN, stands for blood, urea, nitrogen. When that's elevated, that's a pretty good clue that your kidneys are really stressed. We should pay attention to that. So you have to just come to the reality, am I taking good care of myself? And if you answer, no, I am not taking care of myself, what if the conversation goes, you know what, I have consumed every liquid except water. I know that's kind of bizarre that I would bring that up. You'd say, I'm drinking Red Bull, I'm drinking soda waters like Coke or Pepsi or Dr. Pepper. I don't even care if you say it's Coke Zero. That stuff is so toxic, it's unbelievable. You want to wreck your health, that's a pretty good way of doing it. You see how blunt I can be on Saturday morning? But you've got to make it easy for your kidneys to heal. So take the stress off of them. Clean up your diet. Start exercising. Now, I will say this. There have been many studies. One of them from a Journal of Occupational Medicine demonstrated, it's either 2011 or 2014, that if you want to prevent further kidney damage, baking soda. So what if you had the routine? Baking soda is the same as sodium bicarbonate. So if you took like a half a teaspoon of baking soda and you stirred it in a glass of water first thing in the morning and you drank that down, you're doing your kidneys a favor. I'm telling you, baking soda, it's got some properties to help clean and heal and repair the kidneys. Now, there's many aspects. I don't know the exact answer if you try to nail me down on it. But the studies do show that if you want to prevent further damage to your kidneys, you may want to prayerfully consider, can I have the wherewithal to stir for 15 seconds baking soda so it dissolves in water? Yeah, that's the only problem. You got to stir it pretty good to make it disappear and go away. Eventually, the cloudiness of the baking soda will go away. But isn't that what they do to swimming pools also, to clear them up? To make the water sparkling and clear? They add baking soda to it. Have you ever heard of somebody overdosed on baking soda? Nurse, hurry, stat, quick. We're going to have to detox this person that's got a baking soda overdose. I've never heard of that. But there's a lot of people out there with kidney problems. They just don't give themselves a chance because they fall short when it comes to properly hydrating the body. Does that make sense? So, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have the articles in front of me, but they've shown that propolis is a particular compound that's found, it's the glue that the bees use to kind of hold everything together in the beehive, you know, where the honeycombs are. So if they want to attach something to the beehive, like if there's a wooden beehive, like a super, that's what they use. They use propolis. But if the beekeeper removes the propolis, if you took some propolis, and you can actually take propolis in a capsule form, that has been shown to be really, really good to help the kidneys. I saw a guy the other day, his creatinine levels was like 2.54. I'm going, man, you've got to do something to correct this. I tried really hard to tell him that he's over-consuming protein. And I really don't think he listened to me at all. Anyway, it's not my responsibility. I mean, I always tell the truth. But still, the person's going to want to hear the information. And that's hard because you might hold in your mind that, you know, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm going, well, we got to get your kidneys well first. Work on the kidneys first. Let's see if they get a chance to heal. I don't know about what anybody else thinks, but I know what I think. I believe that God designed the body to heal itself under the right circumstances. Yeah, it did. So if you want to join me on the radio, 903-589-8507. Sorry about the last caller, but I just couldn't make out anything that you were saying. You must have been like in a car in a place where cell phone coverage just wasn't quite as good as it should have been. Okay, I have an article in front of me. And I kind of gravitated toward this one because there was one study this week that I took a look at, and I found it interesting, but they were looking at what are some of the commonalities among people that, live a long time. And one of them is they were very consistent with their sleep. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm calling in about my son.
Yes, ma'am.
He has got an infection in his testicles, and they've done an MRI to make sure that they didn't see anything, and they've come up with an infection, done two rounds of antibiotics, and it has not kicked it. He had a vasectomy 6 years ago.
Oh, dear.
A reversal 2 years ago. And like I said, he's just having trouble. Wanted to see if there's anything we could do besides the antibiotics that might help him.
Do you know what the term hypogonadism means?
No.
Okay, so it means I'll just cut to the chase. If a man has a vasectomy, that's almost that can be a big, big problem for some men, in that the gonads begin to shrink. They don't work the way they used to. You don't have the great hormone or testosterone production like you used to. So for some men, if they have a vasectomy, that kind of changes the dynamics of everything. It's like completely counterproductive. Anyway, the reason I was saying that, if you kind of made the observation that when he had the vasectomy, he started to kind of go downhill as far as his ambition, drive, motivation, is that true at all?
Not really.
Okay, all right, good. So there may be what I would call lymphatic congestion. So have you ever heard of a substance called castor oil?
Yes.
Okay, castor oil is very interesting. I really don't know that I can do it justice, but I'll say this. Wherever you topically apply castor oil, you tend to have some of the greatest improvements in lymphatic circulation and blood flow to an area. And so that's one of the hallmarks of an infection. Actually, let me say it in reverse. If somebody wanted to develop an infection, let's just reduce the amount of oxygen and blood flow and nutrition that goes to that particular gland or tissue. What we want is we want more blood flow, more oxygen, more nutrition delivered to the gonad. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. One of the nutrients that usually tends to be very, very low in saturation in the male body when there's a infection of the gonad or the testicle is going to be zinc. So a lot of times if a man is low in zinc, he'll crave salty, crunchy things. That would be like going to a Mexican food restaurant and showering salt all over the tortilla chips and eating with a lot of hot sauce or salsa. Any of that describe him?
I don't know. I have not been around him to see what his diet's like lately.
Okay. Well, is he overweight?
No.
Okay. Well, what would your best guess be on why he would have a testicular infection?
I don't know. I had read that if you've had surgeries, that could be a problem.
Yeah, because you just don't get the great blood flow and the hormonal. Okay. Well, there's got to be some way, and I'm dealing with bits and pieces of what's going on. So I would say, if the doctor did a blood test on him, if his glucose is above 100, he's just asking for an infection. It is absolutely the number one predictor of an infection. You're going to get an infection when your blood sugar is too high. So that's kind of why I asked if he was overweight. I was seeing if he's maybe pre-diabetic.
Yeah, I know he cut sugars at the first of the year and hasn't had any. He cut that out of his diet.
Well, did he have an injury to that area? Did he mow the yard and a rock came out from under the lawnmower and hit him there or something?
They have not. No. I just found out that he'd been on antibiotics. So I was just hadn't heard that as far as any injuries or anything else. So.
Well, then let me just give you the most general information of all time. If he's not taking garlic, I think that probably might be a good support mechanism for him. If he's not taking the supplement called zinc, we could do a test called the zinc sulfate 7-hydrate taste test. I'm sure he'd fail it. But the bottom line is we just need to give him some zinc. So if I wanted to design a diet for him to help the testicle to heal, I'd probably give him lots of seafood. So if he likes salmon and halibut and flounder and haddock and cod, things like that, that's probably in his best interest.
Okay, very good. Okay, I will let them know. And I've got one question for me. I took a fall off some stairs this week.
Oh, no.
And, sprained my ankle and wrenched my back pretty good.
But are you still alive?
Yes.
Barely?
Yeah, enough pain to know that I'm definitely alive.
Oh, my goodness.
So doing the, the rice therapy on my ankle as far as, resting it, compression, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then ice and heat on my back and castor oil on all the areas. Any recommendations or how long before you can kind of really start working it to, how long do you need to rest it before you start?
Well, no, I don't have any problem with you working it right now. I would just say slow movements. So
okay.
The more that you can walk, and actually that's to your advantage. And most, how like if somebody had like a broken hip, you would say, we just want them to rest. So, well, that ain't what they do because they figured out they got to get them moving immediately for it to heal.
Okay.
So even if you had like a broken hip and you went to the rehab hospital, you'd be doing physical therapy 2 hours after surgery. Can you believe that?
Okay.
It's
yeah.
just because they've learned that everything becomes stagnant. And so you kind of have to, I don't want you to hurt yourself or make it worse, but you're going to have to be comfortable enduring a little bit of suffering for the sake of making sure it heals properly. But just some movement is going to be in your best interest. I would say maybe even an Epsom salt bath might be called for.
Okay, very good.
There,
and so a lot of back muscle spasms, if I try to lean forward a little bit, the spasms are just really intense.
Well, I would say that your body has a much, much higher need for probably vitamin C and magnesium right now. And if you would just take that, that would be good. Now, if you do an Epsom salt bath, that's magnesium sulfate. Your skin is going to drink up the magnesium. Or you got two or three other options. You know what magnesium oil is?
No.
Well, they sell magnesium oil probably just about everywhere now, even at the big stores that begin with the letter okay. W. But magnesium oil, if you apply it to the area of pain, your tissue is going to soak it up and put it to use as far as mending and healing the damaged tissue. So that's a good one right there. Another one, I know this one's going to sound weird, You're okay with that, aren't you? Weirdness.
Yes.
Fresh lemon juice over the injured area, that may actually be beneficial to you. Or they sell what's called Arnicare. It's just Arnica Montana in a clear gel. Now, that you can apply very, very freely, and there's no toxicity or side effects. Even that would be really, really good for you.
Okay, and that, where can you get that Arnica at? Just about anywhere?
I've even seen it at the large grocery stores. But a health food store is probably going to be your best bet.
Okay.
So if you went to, I don't know exactly where you live, but, you know, let's just say that you're familiar with either Sprouts or Natural Grocers or the Granary or Drug Emporium or something mm-hmm. like that.
Okay.
Did I mention the Granary yet?
but
so what you can do is you can look at that. Actually, that'd probably be really good for everybody to have in their medicine chest is a tube of Arnicare. That way, if they have an injury, you're just helping your natural immune system and your body to respond to it. So,
okay, very good.
You know what my guess is on your son? My guess would be that he's got some scar tissue that's kind of clogged up blood flow and lymphatic system. That'd be my guess.
Right.
And so we're trying to open that up. And so applying castor oil. Now there's another technique that's just, and it's been used for hundreds of years. One of the oldest schools of thought says if you've got like epididymitis or a testicular infection, you sunbathe the area. Now, I'm not trying to be weird, but you got to do it where you have privacy. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does.
All right.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay.
I hope that helps.
Very helpful.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day. Thanks for your phone call.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, the phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. And I'm looking at the clock. We've got at least, 7 minutes left? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, maybe 6.5. But that's still plenty of time if you want to ask a question or make a comment. So the number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Okay, back to what I was talking about. The idea of, you know what? I'm going to switch gears here. I'm not going to talk about that. Let me talk about this right here because this is really so important. I get to talk to... Oh, here we have a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
I just wanted to let you know that Texas Fresh and Henderson has that mineral stuff.
They do?
Yes, I was shocked.
Now, where's that located?
It's on 259 North going... Right outside the traffic star in Henderson, across the
road. Now, ma'am, if you're going to bring up the traffic star, that is absolutely the most confusing traffic area.
Well, you know,
I'm just joking with you.
Let me tell you something. You can get gas, go to the restroom, get back in line, and sit there to start. But when you walk in, I used to be a paper. And I seriously have gone and got gas and got back in line. When you walk in the door at Texas Fresh, it's up there on the right. When you walk in the door, it's to the left in a little bookcase thing.
Okay, good deal. That's good to know.
And it's $12 a bottle. I have neuropathy in my hands and feet, and I put it on that. But
does it help?
Yes.
Good. Now, you know I was just joking about that traffic intersection in Henderson, don't you, the star?
Oh, I know.
Because I went through there the other day, and I said, okay, which turn's mine? I had like three choices.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, one time we had to read the Bible, and so many days, I'd read the traffic star and sit and read. but I grew up in Henderson. I met people going around the circle the wrong way.
Oh, and you can see why. It's like, I've never encountered anything quite like this before.
I was babysitting for one of the coaches, and he was our driver's ed teacher, but I didn't have my driver's license, and he said, just come on and drive over tonight. I said, yeah, really good tonight. I met a car going around the circle the wrong way. But I just thought that's a really convenient place to stop.
Yeah, you betcha.
It's $12 a bottle and a spray bottle. And I was shocked they had it.
And you know what? $12 is probably the amount of money you're going to pay in gas that you're going to burn up waiting for the light to turn. Anyway, no, thank
I
you.
Have to do it.
No, thank you very, very much.
I live on this side of the star.
You know what? I didn't think about that. No wonder you're so happy this morning.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? I'll take the Henderson traffic star over traffic in downtown Houston. How about that? Any day of the week.
We had a law enforcement officer retire after 30-something years, and I laughed last night when I read his little article they wrote back. He has chased me around because I would go around the star doing paper racks. And he would go, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing paper X. I'm not sitting at the star." But you have a great day, and I love your show.
Oh, well, you're so kind.
I've been listening to you over about 30 years.
Is that? Wow. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you called in today. You made my day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. No, Carson and I were at the intersection, and I asked him twice. I said, "Now, which one do I take to get to Martin Creek Mill Reservoir?" He goes, "No, you skip this one to the right, and you go to the next one. There's 43. It's really not that big a deal. I'm sort of exaggerating. But if you go through it one time, you'll probably get the hang of it. Or if you don't, you might be lost for the rest of your life, just going in circles, not figuring out how to get out of there. Now, that's a joke. All right, let me start this one right here. Okay, let me go back to this one, because this is probably all I have for like 2 minutes left in the program. When they look at, and I find this fascinating, they've done studies where they observe people that age gracefully. That means their body stays in great working order, they have good health, they're not broken down, they're not sick and diseased. But one of the things they do have is they have a very consistent time that they wake up. And so let me give you two examples. If a person consistently went to bed at 9 o'clock, but they woke up right at 5 a.m. every morning, then most likely they're going to have amazing health. Now, if a person says, "Who cares what time I go to bed? I think I'll stay up till 2 in the morning tonight. And then the night before, I'm exhausted. I went to bed at 10. No. That's not what is good for the body. The body likes consistency. Even if these people that lived a long time, they had something that came up. There was a stressful situation. They had to deal with it, like a broken water heater or something, or a flat tire. If they still went to bed later, they would get up exactly at the same time, 5 a.m. They wouldn't sleep in late. So I know as you think about this, you're thinking, well, I know people that go to bed whenever they want, and they wake up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that is just torture on the body. Even if you just do it on the weekends. I've seen people that will drink a lot on Friday and Saturday and Sunday night, and their sleep schedule is all messed up, and they have to follow it. It's going to wreck your health. So just be consistent. That's your takeaway. All right, this program that you're listening to is called Health Essentials. I'm your host, Roy Morgan. I'm in Jacksonville, but as you can tell, I get callers from all sorts of exotic destinations and locations like the Star in Henderson. All right, Lord willing, I will be back this time next week.
Okay.
It's just all the time that I have, though. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville Tire Longview.